Thank you. lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 144, stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. O God, the God that saveth me, remove my guilty stains, and I will sing thy righteousness in grateful, joyous strains. 1, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 144.
Thank you. scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, there of chapter 23, beginning at the 13th verse. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 23, beginning by verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, Ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why, what evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left, thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we are before thy holy countenance, in thy holy house of prayer, and thou knowest all that lives within our hearts. For we come up and we cannot leave ourselves behind. And then the foolishness and the wickedness, the carnality, the vanity that is all known to thee. For thou dost see the innermost recesses of our hearts, and we try to draw nigh to thee, as thou dost command us to do, but we know not how to pray, nor what to pray for as we ought. And we are of ourselves without prayer, and without the spirit thereof. O that thou may give it by thy spirit in the hearts of young and old, then it was necessary that thou wouldst bring thy people into affliction and into trouble time and again, and that thou mayst hear their voice, that they might cry to thee in their need. Wilt thou give us also a cry in the need of our souls? For this life is very short, and we have no understanding hearts of ourselves, but think to live here forever. And we do not consider that we are more than a beast, with a soul that has to appear before thee. And we have heard even in these moments what has taken place so long ago by thy own people. For thou didst come unto thy own, and thy own received thee not. Thou didst take upon thyself their own consequences of sin, their own weakness, their own affliction, their own pain, their own death, and yet they receive thee not. Then what man is so blind, so carnal, so wicked, and so dead, as those who cannot see? But we can read in thy word, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. O Lord, wilt thou grant us that spirit this hour, that spirit that gives us eyes to see and hearts to understand, ears to hear, or that we may be given that desire and that will, that it may be renewed after thee in holiness, in righteousness, and that we may desire to walk in all thy ways, and that we may be given to see our great need for thy dear and only begotten Son. And for this season also will soon pass, and once again we will have increased all our accountability. When we stand before thee with all that we have heard and read, and so many times in our life, that a name above all names being preached unto us, but we will not have thee. Oh, that thou may remember us in our wretchedness, in our deadness, in our wickedness, that thou mayst raise us, O Lord, from the dead, for that is thy own work, and that we may receive life that hungers, that thirsts, that pants for the living water, that is a fountain of waters, and that we may drink of that water, and that we may live forever. Oh, that we may be given a taste of it also in this very hour. For thou knowest where thy children are in their thirst, in their hunger. For thou knowest the life that thou hast given that must be sustained, that thou may remember them and that thou may grant unto them in this hour a little token of thy nearness, of thy favor, and that thou knowest who and where that they are, that thou hast called them by their name, and that thou dost never forsake the work of thine own hands, which they so often do fear to be on the outside of, that thou thyself may raise up new ones in that kingdom of God, that thou mayest give that also in our midst amongst young and old there may be a smiting upon the breast, and a crying out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner, that our eyes may be turned from outward to inward unto ourselves, that we may be given to see, and that thou would say, turn thee again, and I will show thee greater abominations than these, so that a man must bow his head in shame before thee, the true, the holy, the righteous, the just God. Do honor and glorify and magnify the name of thy dear Son in the life, in the heart of each and every one of us while we are here upon this world, while all the things of time and sense do take away all our attention. And then before that we realize the day of our death is before us and it is climbing into our windows, remember those that mourn, that thou may comfort as thou alone art able to do, care for all the afflicted, the sick, those that suffer from serious diseases, those that receive treatments therefore. Wilt thou bless the means, uphold and encourage them also in these difficult ways, those that suffer from addictions, those that are handicapped, difficulties of mind and body, all the consequences of our sin known to thee, and yet thou didst have great compassion when thou wast here upon this world. So thou didst turn none away that did draw nigh to thee in all their earthly troubles, and that they may experience it also even in this day, that thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that all these blessings and all these afflictions may draw men to thy blessed footstool in love, in desire, in longing, that we might know for our own soul who is that true and that living God. For to know thee is life eternal. And that thou may give in the midst of all this world thy word to go forth and to prosper in the mouth of thy servants. Increase thou their number also in the midst of our denomination. And that thou may give, and here and also upon the mission fields, an increase in the number of thy kingdom, for in the multitude of subjects is the honor of the king. Oh, that thou wouldst gather them, O Lord, then from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, and leave not us and our children behind in that great and notable day. Wilt thou remember us then in this hour, favor us with a little token of thy nearness and of thy help in the bringing, in the hearing of thy word. Strengthen us for our duty and give hearing ears and understanding hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 266 all the stanzas. God is King forever. Let the nations tremble, throned above the cherubim by all the earth adored. And what follows, 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 266. Beloved congregation, there comes an end to all things here below. Also, there comes an end to our life. And when our life comes to an end, also the relation that we have to one another also ceases. Because they are relations that are given unto us for this world only. And then when we part with one another, and then that relation of husband and wife, of father and child, and then we say goodbye to one another in that relation for the last time. How often are those words very solemn that we may speak to one another in those relations for the last time in our life? A minister also will preach, either known or unknown, for the last time. And then also that relation, it will be broken. And when he preaches a farewell sermon, then it is often with an eye toward the future, so that there is a warning that is in his mouth unto his people. Christ remains the great prophet of his church even to this day. But there was a preaching that he did in a personal way here upon the earth that was unto his own people. And that day came that he would preach unto them for the last time. That was a very short declaration, and yet it was very solemn. And that is what we wish to consider with the Lord's help for a moment in this afternoon. Out of the words of our text from Luke 23, the 28th verse. Luke 23, verse 28. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. So far the words of our text. Christ's instruction concerning tears. First, a gentle rebuke. Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. Second, an earnest warning, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Christ's instruction concerning tears, a gentle rebuke, and an earnest warning. What a lot of weeping, congregation, is to be found in this world. So many very pitiable things there are to be observed when we look about us. Sometimes we say it is a good thing that we do not know everything that takes place in this world. Because who would be able as a human being to bear it? Where has all this sorrow come from? You can answer that, boys and girls. You can answer that very serious question. If you can, you know much more than many persons in this world. Because if you will ask the philosophers of this world and those that teach in the universities and that supposedly know so much of the learning of this world, and you will ask them where all that misery in the world comes from, they will not be able to give you an answer. Do you understand, young people, the privilege of being brought up and being instructed in the Word of God? That is not a privilege that the Lord gives to everyone in this world. Do we despise that upbringing? Do we despise that knowledge that may be received out of the Word of God? All those tears, all that misery, they say, there cannot be a God in heaven. But there is a God in heaven. You will say, boys and girls, it is our sin that is right. And thus, when we sin, there are great consequences to sin. Do we consider the greatness of the evil of sin? And when we do it with our hands, when we sin with our mouth, when we sin with our thoughts, that all these things, they are bringing all of this misery, all of the tears that we may see in this world and that are in the world to come, all from one cause: weeping. Some weep easily. Others do not weep so easily, because the Lord has given to every man his character. And so there is a difference. We read here about weeping women. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. Many times the character of women. It is a great blessing to be able to weep sometimes, because there are sometimes people who cannot weep, which is often a burden to them, because those tears are giving a little relief to the sorrows that are carried within their hearts. But we read in God's Word also of some who were hired to weep. That was in the Bible times, when there was in the Jewish nation outwardly a great expression of their emotions and of their feelings, much more than in our society. So that persons at a funeral were hired to weep and to wail, wailing women, that they may affect the affections of other persons, and that they may draw out of those persons the ability to weep. But how was that for them? That was not true. That was only put on. That was fake. That was hypocritical. That was just a face. But how now was that with these women? Is that just for them a show? That they are weeping as they follow the Lord Jesus? No, that is not a show. They meant it. It is not forced. That is a weeping that is coming out of their hearts. Why do they weep? Would we not weep? Why would we not weep? There we see an execution. And then it is in the nature of these women that their hearts are drawn out after the malefactor, that he is abused in such a way. Thus there is such a touching sight, such a pitiable sight, that makes these women weep? What heart is so hard that it would not weep under such circumstances as these women may see? And yet it is possible that a man does not weep. When they may see such an execution, why, when they may know that it is just, right, young people? Because within every one of us, when a man has done evil, then we say it is only right, it is only just that that person is receiving that punishment for what he has done. And yet, when we may see someone who has murdered someone and he is standing there on death row, he is going there to an electric chair or before a firing squad, then even when we must say that that is just, then in our hearts there is also something that is going out to them because there is another human being. Yet how much more the case of the Lord Jesus Christ, when there is here no guilt, when there is here no crime, when there is here nothing but innocence, nothing but compassion, nothing but goodwill unto all those Jewish people. So many of those Jews, they have cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." But did they all do that? They did not all. No, they do not all agree. There are those who believe that he was innocent. There are those who have seen and recognized that it was false witnesses that are called to condemn him. There are those who have seen all his good works. They have heard the blessed words out of his mouth. No man spake like this man. There are those that have loved him. There are those who have flocked about him, have gone to hear him. There are those who have seen that he was abused, even in the court. Their hearts go out to him. They go out to him with pity. They go out to him with sorrow. They weep. Oh, they feel so sorry for him. Is that not understandable? Would our hearts not do the same to such a good man? It is a wonder that some yet weep for him. When he is on the way to the cross, it is a wonder if there are some always in this world that are bearing within their hearts the burden of the true church. Do we do that too? So go over the world, even as these women, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. So it comes out of the mouth of the Savior. How surprised that those women must have been. In their weeping, and when they have heard these words of the Lord Jesus, when their hearts were touched with sympathy for him. When I was young, there was a minister one time. There were four young people sitting close to the front. Four girls. And at one point, those four girls, they were weeping audibly. The minister said to them, "Girls, stop your crying." Three stopped. One did not. daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. It was a rebuke. Was that a sharp rebuke? No. How do we rebuke our children, fathers and mothers? Sometimes, Paul says to Timothy, he says, rebuke them sharply. There were some that needed to be rebuked sharply. But then there are also many times that a rebuke that must be so gentle. Then a sharp rebuke is not necessary. And we do not rebuke with more sharpness than we need to. The Lord Jesus does not give a sharp rebuke. Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. He does not say, do not weep at all. He only says, weep not for me. Thus, he gives them a direction concerning the object of their weeping. He, as it were, asks them a question. Why are you weeping? Why are you crying? What are you weeping about? Who are you weeping for? We can read of David that he asked the Lord, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Thus there are some tears, they're coming into the bottle of God. But there are so many tears that are not coming into that bottle. Thus there is a distinction between the tears that are shed by mankind in this world. Some tears are sinful. Sinful tears? Yes. Do you weep sinful tears sometimes, children, young people? When the table is set, a mother has made a meal, and then you begin to weep tears because it is not just to your liking. That is what the Israelites did. And the Lord rained down for them bread from heaven that was for their health and strength and for their nourishment. But then they wept. They said they wanted something different. Give us flesh to eat. They are tears of dissatisfaction, tears of unrest. Give us something else. Sinful tears. How many sinful tears are not shed in this world? Because we do not have all the things that we desire to have when we do not deserve the things that we do have. There are tears of deceit. There are tears of falsehood. You read about the woman of Tekoa, that she came to David, sent by Joab, and she put on mourning clothing. Thus she comes with tears to David, as if she is a mourning woman. But she was not. No, it was a deceit. It was something just put on. She desires that Absalom may be brought back once again unto Jerusalem. Tears. There are tears of self-pity. Do we weep tears of self-pity? That is what Esau wept. King Saul, honor me now before the people. Then there were tears. On the other side, sometimes there are true tears, but those tears are so superficial, they are so shallow, They do not go and penetrate down beneath the affliction or beneath the trouble. Only tears of natural sympathy, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. Why not? Grace says it is not necessary to weep for me. Because I do not go unwillingly. No, I have set my face steadfastly towards Jerusalem. I am willing with all my heart to go in this way, the way that my Father has sent me. I come to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. You do not need to weep tears of pity for me. I am not a martyr. No, I am the Savior of my people, of my church. In the second place, daughters of Jerusalem, I'm a human being. Weep not for me. I also have a flesh. I am actually one of you, of the human race. Thus your tears, they will be a temptation to me, to my flesh. Because I also have the same as you, that desire, that nature that looks to preserve itself. So that when my disciple says, Lord, this shall not be unto thee, and then I say to him, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. An offense. Why? A temptation. A temptation to my flesh that would succumb under this temptation not to go forward. No. Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me. Gentle rebuke. But he also gives them an earnest warning. Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Weep, he says, for yourselves. I do not need to be pitied, but there is much and great reason that you ought to pity yourselves. That is what these women did not realize. What these women did not understand. What they needed to be taught. Oh, how often is it in this world that there is nothing that men so misses in his understanding as much as his own misery, his own wretchedness. Weep, he says, for yourselves. That is the instruction that Christ gives to these women in his last sermon. He gives it not only to these women in them, he gives that message to the Jewish nation. In that last sermon, in his farewell sermon to that Jewish nation, as it were, before his death, what does he do? He warns them. He warns them about the future. He warns them about what is coming. What is coming? Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. Thus, what does the Lord Jesus speak about? The future. That is unknown to the Jews. It is known to the Lord. Thus, it is in his prophetic office that the Lord Jesus prophesies of these days that are coming in the lives of this Jewish nation. One is coming. Oh, this city. This city in which they idolize. This city of Jerusalem. This capital city. Our city. The city of David. The city of the Lord. Zion. Oh, this city is going to be destroyed. He told them that before. The days are coming. Now one stone is going to be left upon another that will not be thrown down. Thus the Romans are going to come. And the Romans are going to destroy this city. And there is going to be a great agony that is experienced by this Jewish nation. It is a tribulation. What does he say? He says that it shall be a tribulation that shall be so great there was no tribulation like it before. And there shall be no tribulation like it afterwards. The Jews are going to weep. The Jews are going to weep as they have never wept before. And they are going to weep with desire for things that are so unnatural. They're going to weep with desire for things that ordinarily they would have fled from. What are they going to weep for? What are they going to desire? Oh, we pray sometimes. Do we not? Sometimes there's a couple, and there's a couple, they're married, and now they go year after year, and they have no children. And then we pray for them, because then it is the Lord who opens that womb and who closes the womb. And the Lord is free. Do we believe that? That is not our task. Families, fathers, mothers. That is not our task, that womb. That is the Lord's prerogative. And now he says there is going to come a time, Jewish women, oh, that was for the Jewish women, that was so coveted that they might have a child, that they might have a son. And now there is going to come a time that you are going to wish that you had no children. Why? Because it is going to be an agony for fathers and for mothers to watch their children in the dearth, to see them pining away from hunger, to see them slain in the war. Then parents are going to wish that they had never brought forth a child into the world. And then they are going to say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear. Did it come to pass? It came to pass. God's word is coming to pass. May we ever see it in all the fulfillments of our day and what has gone behind us. It is all coming to pass. Titus, he came with his army and he surrounded that city, cut it off from the outside world. None can go in, none can come out. There is no food in the city. They ate children. Are we complaining at that table? Do you know what they ate? It is said they ate dirt and dung. They ate their clothing. They ate their shoes in the dirt. And one day the soldiers, they came through the door. There was a wealthy woman that lived there. And they were shocked with horror. There was left yet, still half her child was not yet eaten. Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. All begging that they would be buried alive, that they may escape all of this misery. All these things came to pass. Every jot and every tittle that came out of that mouth of Christ. Weep, he says, for yourselves. Why? For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall be done in the dry? What is the difference, children, between a green tree and a dry tree? You're going to make a fire. You make a fire. What kind of wood do you throw on the fire? Say, we'll take the old wood, right? That which is very dry, because that will burn well. That is right. And that wet wood, the new wood, the fresh wood, well, that has too much moisture in it. That will not burn. Now, what does the Lord Jesus say? He himself is this green tree. Oh, he is the living vine. He is full of sap. He is full of fruit. The Lord Jesus is himself this green tree. He says, if now these Romans, if they do this to me, who am innocent, who am good, who am without any fault, if they so do this to me, what are they going to do unto you? What are they going to do unto that Jewish nation which is going to rebel against those Romans with their provoking behavior against the Romans? That Jewish nation, they are like that dry tree. They are fit as fuel for the fire. All you need is a little spark. And then it is going to burn. If they have done this to the righteous and to the good, what are they going to do unto the wicked and to the evil? For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Weep. Weep for yourselves and for your children. The Lord Jesus earnestly warns for the last time, earnestly warns and calls them to weeping before that judgment is coming. How far away was it? 40 years. That is all. It was in the lifetime of many of them, of the younger ones, than they have seen with their own eyes. They've experienced in their own lives the truth of the words of Christ. Weep. Weep for yourselves and for your children, and save yourselves from this untoward generation. So he says also unto us. But let us sing first 255. 3 and 4, to the Lord such might revealing. Let us come with reverence meet, and before our Maker kneeling, let us worship at his feet. 3 and 4 of 255. Not for me. Did you ever weep for Christ? Maybe in the weeks of Passion, when you have heard a very gifted minister, perhaps, and when he has explained and elaborated upon the greatness of the sufferings of Christ. Have you ever wept for Christ? How careful a minister has to be. that he is not drawing out of man superficial tears. Why? It is not easy for us as mankind to detect the superficiality of our weeping. We weep a little bit, and then we think, oh, maybe the Lord is working in my heart. And then maybe even one of God's dear children may see you weeping. And out of love, but not out of wisdom, then there is an encouragement and a lack of letting it winter over once. How careful we have to be. Because when those tears are from the Spirit of the Lord, we can do much damage. And when they are not from the Spirit of the Lord, oh, we can uphold and foster the hypocrisy that is living in the heart of a man. Thus, a very dangerous thing. No, a few tears, that is not enough. Orpah wept many tears. That was so hard to leave her mother-in-law. But those tears did not go into God's bottle. Because we read that she returned unto her people. Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Thus the visible church is called by Christ to weeping. What for? In the first place, he says, weep for yourselves. Did you ever weep for yourself? No. Never wept for yourself. Not out of self-pity. Esau wept too. He wept why? He wept because he could not get what he wanted. He also wanted the blessing. He wanted the blessing. But do you know what he never shed a tear about? His sin. His love of the world. That he had no desire for the Lord. As Jacob had. With all his tears, he could not get his father to change his mind about that blessing. We read in the Bible, he found no place of repentance. That is not that he sought repentance, no. He could not get his father to repent. He could not get his father to change his mind, though he sought it carefully with tears. He could not change the mind of his father. How will that be for us? Come to the end of our life. It gets closer and closer and closer. Yeah? Then what? We're laid on a sickbed. Then what? I want the blessing too. Tears? Deathbed conversion? And yet not a single tear in our life because we miss God. Not a single tear in our life because of our own sin. Weep for yourselves. Oh, how will that be? When we come toward that gate, when we come unto that judgment, and we are weeping, oh Lord, let me in too. Do you think that you will be able to change the mind of Christ, the judge on the judgment seat, with all your tears? Esau could not change the mind of his father. Neither shall we change the mind of God. Weep for yourselves. What does Christ say? Believe my word, Jewish nation. Believe what I tell you today. Believe what I tell you is coming in the future. Believe that those judgments are not very far away. Weep for yourselves, for behold, the days are coming. That is what the Jewish nation refused to believe. Wicked Nineveh wept. That heathen people who served their idols, they wept. The Lord spared their city another 100 years. But the Jews, they could not be gotten to weep a single tear. And why not? Because of their supposed entitlements. We are a privileged people. We are the children of Abraham. And therefore, they could not weep. They did not consider that that only made their judgment all the heavier. Weep. Weep for yourselves and for your children. Did you ever weep for your children? Reverend Lemaine said once, most of the time I have no children. They do not weigh on my heart like they ought to weigh on my heart. But fathers and mothers, grandfathers and grandmothers, what is coming for our children? What is coming for our grandchildren? When we may look about us and see all the things that are taking place in our time, weep. Weep for yourselves and for your children. What did Christ preach to these women? And in those women unto that Jewish nation in his last sermon, he said, weep. Why? Weep for the blindness of your nation. That they know not what they do when they fight against me. Weep, he says, for the rebelliousness of your nation. They crucify their own king. They will not have this man to reign over them. Weep, women. Weep not for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. Can it be that such things have no consequences? Can it be that such things the Lord does not a visit in his great wrath? Weep. Weep for the lack of repentance after I have preached sin unto you and righteousness and judgment. But man goeth still on in his trespasses. Weep for the rejection of grace, of mercy that is in me. When I do come to give myself, but you refuse to acknowledge your sin, you refuse to bow before me, you refuse to seek me in a day of grace, weep. Weep not for me, no, weep for yourselves and for your children. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says they are going to come from the east and from the west. And they are going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom are going to be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It is coming. Do we believe that? We say that is for the world. Christ says it is for the children of the kingdom. Weeping and gnashing of teeth, O congregation, who is going to be there of us? Weeping and gnashing our teeth very soon. Very soon. That is coming. Or do you think it is all lies and deceit? What we read in the Word of God. Christ said, blessed are they that weep now, for they shall laugh. Are there those in our midst that weep now? And why do you weep? Do you weep for yourself? Do you weep for your children? Do you weep with David, who said, O Lord, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight? That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Are there those that weep for themselves? Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Are those words ever heard with weeping coming out of your secret chamber before the Lord? He is witness. I do not need to. Weep for yourselves. Or must you say, I have never so wept? Maybe you say, my heart, that is so hard. I wish I could break my heart. I so wish that I could come in that place, that my heart would be broken. Oh, for that broken heart, and for that contrite spirit. Does it grieve you? Does it grieve you that you cannot weep? That you cannot bring forth a right tear before the Lord? David, he says, there is no rest in my bones because of my sin. That is sometimes. That a person has no ability to bring forth a tear. But there is no rest in his bones as he goes over this world. And then he is grieving over the hardness of his heart, the wretchedness the worldliness, the carnality. God is so good. And I cannot repent. Jeremiah, he says, oh, that my head were waters and that my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I could weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I could weep for my congregation, that I could lay before them as a fountain of tears before the Lord. That was the desire of his heart. He wept in his heart. David says, rivers of water run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law. Oh, my people, that was his burden. Weep not for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. The last discourse, the last sermon of the Lord Jesus Christ unto that Jewish nation before he went away. When he rose again, he didn't go to that Jewish nation anymore. Didn't appear to them. He only appeared unto his people. Thus, that was the final word that he left that people with. Came out of his heart. The heart of a mediator who came unto his own, and his own received him not. Is there place in our heart for his last warning? Is there place in our heart and also in the heart of our children for his last warning, as we see him going now, proceeding out of that court, and as we see him going unto Golgotha, unto the cross? Is there now no place in our heart for that suffering Savior? Because there is no repentance in our heart. Is this season now going to pass again? That passion season without a tear. Without a tear. Not for him. Or without a tear for myself, without a tear for my children, without a pang in my own heart, no grief over the separation between God and my soul. Don't feel it. No grief over the cause. My own sin. Never seen any suitability in that suffering Savior for such a one as I am, going over this world for the need of my own soul. Weep not for me. Weep for yourselves. Weep for your children. Sounds so melancholy, doesn't it, young people? I want to live in this world. I want to enjoy this world. You know what Solomon says? He said, go ahead. Go ahead. Enjoy all this world. Take it all in. But know thou that for all these things, God is going to bring thee into judgment. Blessed are those that mourn now. Why? Because they shall laugh. That is the promise of Christ to his weeping people, to his weeping church. They are going to get the blessing in the end. They are going to get the best part. They are going to be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before that Son of Man. For them, weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning, when he is going to wipe away all the tears from their eyes. O congregation, how will it be for us? How will it be for us that we take that home word home with us in this day? It is weeping now, or it is weeping later. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. Or will we be with those whose tears are wiped away? O God, give to us the desire to seek that portion, because those who seek it will find it. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou teach us to weep? Wilt thou make it the activity of each and every one of us as minister, as parents, as children? Oh, teach us to cry. Show us our need. Bring us together on our knees, in our inner chambers, united in one cry, in one need, in one desire, and that the death, the passion, the suffering of thy dear Son may be applied to us and to our children. Forsake us not utterly. Help us in this week, each one in the place thou hast given us in this world, to do the responsibilities that thou hast laid upon us as individuals. And wilt thou care for us when we hope to gather also in this week in thy house, and that we may be round about thy word once more. Wilt thou give a need and a desire, and apply by thy Spirit thy word for a blessing and for the glory of thy name? Care for all, each one in our place. Keep from danger, sudden and an unexpected death. Keep from sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 420 stanzas 1 and 2. God shall arise, and by his might put all his enemies to flight with shame and consternation. His haters, haughty though they be, shall at his august presence flee in utter desolation. 1 and 2 of 420.
Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.